Thank you. David. A child is given. A son is born. Praise be to God in the highest.
Our call to worship. I'm going to read the lighter lines, and then together, as the Church of Christ, we'll recite that historic statement of faith as we proclaim joy in the fact that Christ has come. My friends, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. This Christmas Eve, we light the white candle. We try to light the white candle. Give me one of those. Just hand me one of the candles. We light this white candle as a visible sign that Jesus Christ is at the center of our lives and at the heart of this church. And we therefore confess together, we believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of gods, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, and for us and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary. And he was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate, and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God.
And he shall come again with glory to
judge
the living and the dead,
whose kingdom shall have no end. O Heavenly Father, Lord God, we have cause to rejoice this night. For in love for us, while we were yet in our sin, you sent your Son, born in our flesh, that he might die the death that is required in our place, that he might perfectly fulfill your law in every way, that you can count that as our righteousness. And so, Lord, as we celebrate the birth of your Son, we have great cause to cry out with all of creation, rejoicing in the salvation that is made available to us as we, by your Spirit, trust in Christ and look to him in faith, even the child born in a manger, the one who will yet once again come to bring his perfect bride to himself. Lord, we look forward to that day, even as we rejoice in his first coming. For we rejoice this night in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This Christmastide, we gather together to prepare ourselves for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We come to hear again the wondrous message of the angels, in heart and mind, to go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. And with the shepherds and the wise men of every age, to adore the child whose birth we celebrate this night. Therefore, let us read and mark in Holy Scripture the tale of the loving purposes of God from the first day of our disobedience unto the glorious redemption brought us by this holy child. God declares in the Garden of Eden that the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, What is this you have done? The woman said, The serpent deceived me, and I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The word of the Lord.
God promises to faithful Abraham that in his seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. And I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
God. Indeed, let's stand and give thanks to the Lord. If you take your red hymnals, we'll stand and sing hymn number 195, Joy to the World.
be seated. Christ's birth and kingdom are foretold by the prophet. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask for a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." The word of the Lord.
The prophet foretells the glory of Bethlehem. "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth." The word of the Lord. Let's stand and sing carol number 201. We'll sing the first two verses, "O Little Town of Bethlehem."
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how soon will you
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
going to ask that you stand and take those hymnals again. We're going to sing Carol 213, verses 1 and 2 of What Child Is This? The evangelist tells of the birth of Jesus. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. The word of the Lord.
the shepherds go to the manger. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. The word of the Lord. We're going to turn again and sing 199 in the hymn book, just the first four stanzas of "See Amid the Winter Snow." We'll stand as we do. May be seated. For those of you who aren't normally here on Christmas Eve, we have a tradition where I read a story to the children. There's another tradition too. I take off my jacket in this case, and I put on this red sweater. 25 years now, this sweater and I have told the story. It has shrunk over the years, so I don't try to button it up anymore. But I want to invite the kids to come, and if they're rambunctious this evening, you can bring a parent with you too. But no limit on children, but a little control will be helpful. These are all mine, by the way, that are crowding up around the front. Excuse me. Oh, hi, Tatiana. Now, I saw a lot more children than this somewhere. Oh. Now, how many of you have a Christmas tree in your house? Everybody. Now, do you have a real one or a fake one? Fake. Real, okay. Have you ever seen a perfect real tree? You got one? No, okay. Only in stories. Well, this story is called Why Christmas Trees Aren't Perfect. And we will read it, and I'll try to show you some pictures on the way through too, okay? They say that if you creep into the evergreen forest late at night, you can hear the trees talking. If you listen very carefully to the whisper of the wind, you can hear the older trees telling the younger ones why they will never be perfect. They will always have a bent branch here or a gap there. But long, long ago, all evergreen trees were perfect. Each one took special pride in branches that sloped smoothly down from pointed top to evenly shaped skirt. This was especially true in a small kingdom far beyond the Carpathian Mountains in Europe. Here the evergreen trees were the most beautiful of all, for here the sun shone just right, not too hot, not too dim. Here the rain fell just enough to keep the ground moist and soft so that no tree went thirsty. And here the snow fell gently day after day to keep the branches fresh and green. That sounds like a pretty nice place to visit, doesn't it? I'd like to live in that castle myself. Each year as Christmas approached, the Queen's woodsmen would search the royal evergreen forest for the most perfect, most beautiful tree. The one fortunate enough to be chosen would be cut on the first Saturday in Advent. It would then be carefully carried to the castle and set up in the center of the great hall. There it reigned in honor for all the Christmas celebrations. Out in the hushed forest, every evergreen hoped for this honor. Each tree tried to grow its branches and needles to perfection. All of them strained to have the best form and appearance. And I bet you all of you try to be good too, don't you? Try to be perfect and at home. Nobody's nodding here. That's good, Julius. One tree, whose name was Small Pine, grew near the edge of the forest and promised to be the most beautiful of all. As a seedling, it had listened carefully to the older trees who knew what was best for young saplings, and it had tried so very hard to grow just right. As a result, everything about Small Pine, from its deep sea green color to the curling tip of its evenly spaced branches, was perfect. It had, in fact, already overheard jealous whispers among the other trees, but it paid no mind. Small Pine knew that if one did one's very best, what anyone else said didn't matter. One cold night, when a bright full moon glittered on the crusty snow, a little gray rabbit came hopping as fast as he could into the grove of evergreens. The rabbit's furry sides heaved in panic. From beyond the hill came the howling of wild dogs to the thrill of the hunt. The bunny, his eyes were wide with fright, frantically searched for cover. But the dark, cold trees lifted their branches artfully from the snow and frowned. They did not like this interruption of their quiet evening when growing was at its best. Faster and faster the rabbit circled as the excited howling of the dog sounded louder and louder. And then Small Pine's heart shuddered. when the terrified rabbit ran near. Small Pine dipped its lower branches down to the snow, and in the instant before the wild dogs broke into the grove, the rabbit slipped under Small Pine's evergreen screen. He huddled safely among the comforting branches while the dogs galloped by and disappeared into the forest. In the morning, the rabbit went home to his burrow, and Small Pine tried to lift his lower branches back up to their proper height. It strained and struggled, but the branches had been pressed down too long through the night. Oh, well, Small Pine thought, no matter. Perhaps the woodsman wouldn't notice a few uneven branches near the ground in a tree so beautiful. Several days later, a terrible blizzard lashed the land. No one remembered ever having so much wind and snow. Villagers slammed their shutters tight while birds and animals huddled in their nests and dens. A brown mother wren had become lost in the storm, with feathers so wet she could barely fly. She went from one large evergreen to another looking for shelter. But each tree she approached feared the wren would ruin its perfect shape and clenched its branches tight like a fist. Finally, the exhausted wren fluttered toward Small Pine. Once more, Small Pine's heart opened, and so did its branches. The mother wren nestled on a branch near the top, secure at last. But when the storm ended and the bird had flown away, Small Pine could not move its top branches back into their perfect shape. In them, there would be a gap forever. Days passed, and winter deepened. The packed snow had frozen so hard that the deer in the forest could not reach the tender ground moss, which they ate to survive. Only the older, stronger deer could dig through the icy snow with them, their hooves. One little fawn had wandered away from his mother, and now he was starving. He inched into the pine grove and noticed the soft, tender evergreen tips. You see them? He turned to nibble on them, but every tree quickly withdrew its needles so the tiny deer teeth didn't chew them. Thin and weak, he staggered against Small Pine. Pity filled the tree's heart, and it stretched out its soft needles for the starving fawn to eat. But alas, when the deer was strong enough to scamper away, Small Pine's branches looked very ragged. Small Pine wilted in sorrow. It could hear what the larger, still perfect trees were saying about how bad he looked. A tear of pine gum oozed from the tip of a branch, and Small Pine knew it could never hope for the honor of being the queen's Christmas tree. Lost in despair, Small Pine did not see the good queen come with the woodsman into the forest. It was the first Saturday of Advent, and she had come to choose the finest tree herself because this was a special celebration year in the history of her kingdom. See her coming? As the royal sleigh, drawn by two white horses, slowly passed through the forest, her careful eye scanned the evergreens. Each one was hoping to be the royal choice. But when the queen saw a Small Pine, a flush of anger filled her. How could such an ugly tree with so many drooping branches and gaps be allowed in the royal forest? She decided to have a woodsman cut it down and throw it away, and nodded for the sleigh to drive on. But then she raised her hand for the sleigh to stop and glanced back at the forlorn little pine. She noticed the tracks of small animals under its uneven needles. She saw a wren's feather caught in its branches. And as she studied the gaping hole in its side and its ragged shape, understanding filled her heart. "This is the one," she said, pointing to Small Pine. The woodsman gasped. But they did as the queen directed. The astonishment of all the evergreens in the forest, Small Pine was carried away to the great hall in the castle. There it was decorated with shimmering silver stars and golden angels, which sparkled and flashed in the light of 1,000 glowing candles. Does your tree look like that?
No.
No. A little better? Yeah. On Christmas Day, a huge Yule log blazed in the fireplace at the end of the Great Hall. While orange flames chuckled and crackled, the Queen's family and all the villagers danced and sang around Small Pine. And everyone who danced and sang around it said that Small Pine was the finest Christmas tree ever. For in looking at its drooping, nibbled branches, they saw the protecting arm of their father, or the comforting lap of a mother. And some, like the wise queen, saw the love of Christ expressed on earth. So if you walk among evergreens today, you will find, along with rabbits and birds and other happy living things, many trees, like Small Pine. You will see a drooping limb, which gives cover, a gap offering a warm resting place, or branches ragged from feeding hungry animals. For as have many of us, the trees have learned that living for the sake of others makes the most beautiful in the eyes of God. So you don't have to be perfect, do you? Just, some of you are too anxious for me to tell you that. Well, thank you for listening to the story. You can go back with your moms and dads. Okay? You want to take that book with you?
Yes, sir.
Can you get up?
Yes.
Okay.
As they're headed back, we're going to stand and sing carol number 203. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Wise men are led by the star to Jesus. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. The word of the Lord. At this time, our ushers are going to come forth to take our offering. And this year, as always, our offering at Christmas goes to the PCA's Ministerial Relief Fund that goes to help support those pastors and widows of pastors who have fallen upon hard financial times. So in this time of year when we celebrate the great gift that God has given to us in Christ, might we too give generously to God's people. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. We are greatly blessed and enriched in him. For in him we find light and life. We find our very salvation. Lord, we seek now to worship through our giving. Bless what is given. Use it for the glory and honor of Christ, our King, born in our flesh. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
We're to sing again. It's number 230 in the hymn book. Thou who wast rich will stand, and we'll sing all the stanzas. 230. Seated. St. John unfolds the mystery of the Incarnation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you. Sometimes it seems we live in a dark, dark world, not just because it's night, but because of what we see and hear in our own city, nation, and in the countries that make up this vast globe. But light can only overtake darkness when we open our eyes. Isaiah wrote, "We look for light, but all is darkness, for brightness, but we walk in deep shadows. Like the blind, we grope along the wall, feeling our way like men without eyes. At midday, we stumble as if it were twilight. Among the strong, we are like the dead." And when we do open the eyes of our hearts, he reminds us that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Indeed, light is shed upon the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. The birth of Jesus was the fulfillment of the prophecies of the ages, foretold from that day in the Garden of Eden that a deliverer would come. And in Jesus, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Jesus described himself as the light. "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And to those of us who follow him, he instructed, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine that men might see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven." We traditionally light candles at this point in the service, and I traditionally give a warning: fire burns. If your children have them, please make sure they're holding them straight up and not tilting down, because we don't want to clean the wax off the floor. But also watch the hair of the person in front of you, please. John and I are going to come and walk down the center aisle and light the candle of the person that is sitting there, and they'll turn to light yours as you go to the outside of the room. The person who has a lit candle, you hold yours straight. And the person who doesn't can put theirs in and light it and then hold theirs straight. I'm not thinking that you don't know how to do this, but I'm just making sure. As we light the candles, we're also going to sing Silent Night. If you need to look at the words, it's 210. Maybe one person can hold two candles and somebody else can hold the book. But as we finish tonight, let me thank you for coming and encourage you tomorrow and in the days ahead not to forget the things you've heard, not to forget that these things were the word of the Lord, not the speculations of men, not my favorite verses, although they are, but the very words of God. Let's sing Silent Night as we light the candles.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant, so tender. Sure.
Again, we thank you for joining us this night. As we leave, let me grant us the benediction, and then I'd ask that you'd extinguish your candle before you leave. Hold your hand behind it. Blow the wax on your hand, not on the person in front of you. As we leave, now may he who by his incarnation gathered into one things earthly and heavenly fill you with the sweetness of inward peace and goodwill, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. And all God's people said, Amen. Merry Christmas. Thank you.